Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it Monday? Is it Friday? I honestly thought yesterday was Sunday for about 5 minutes. Welcome into 96.5 The Fan. The boys are back in town.
I have no idea what today is.
It's very weird because, like, obviously, Christmas and New Year's are just 1 week exactly apart. So New Year's
Eve. It's funny how that happens, right?
Yeah, every year. But it's weird when it happens on, like, New Year's Eve, Tuesday, New Year's Day, Wednesday, Christmas Eve, Tuesday, Christmas, Wednesday. Then all of a sudden, it's like a lot of people, not everybody. Again, I don't speak to the masses here, but for most, I feel like a lot of people are, you know, maybe getting back to work today, or they're just hands in the air, F it, I'll go back on Monday.
I think that's kind of where people are leaning, right? Like, I was out and about, you know, in the mornings, you know, during the holiday break. Obviously, we didn't go away. We can get into that if we want. Not that big a deal. But just kind of driving around, and nobody's out in the mornings, brother.
Okay.
This week, I was going to the J at, like, you know, 8 o'clock or whatever. Right. I was the only one on the road. I thought, my God, what's going on out here right now? But no, clearly everybody has off. I think everybody gets back at it on Monday. But now with this big snowstorm allegedly bearing down on us that may hit on Saturday night into Sunday and all day on Sunday, we're probably not going to have people back to work on a Tuesday, Wednesday next week, right?
Hey, I'm going to go to, like, Hy-Vee or wherever on Friday and then just burrow in the house for, like, the rest of the weekend.
And there's nothing wrong with that, really.
No chance. After what we just did for 2 weeks, which, I don't know about you guys, is a hell of a bender.
I'm about done. Yeah, I told you after Thanksgiving I had that feeling like I couldn't eat for, like, you know, a month. I'm there right now. I literally right now, I want to go throw up. I've had so much to eat and drink and do over the last, you know, 2 weeks. I'm like, I don't need another cookie. I don't need another pie. I don't need another piece of meat. At this point in time, I don't need anything except for, like, some sort of cleansing right now.
Whereas, like, Thanksgiving is a big day or, like, a big meal for, like, everybody gives you leftovers.
Yeah.
Where, like, you eat in your fridge. You're like, okay, I'm done. I feel like Christmas is, like, the opposite, but with sweets. Like, somebody gives you fudge, somebody gives you cookies, somebody gives you, like, sweets, puppy chow, whatever it may be. And at this point, I mean, I don't know if it's, like, me being a Richard, but I still have, like, half of that left. But I'm like, Christmas has been a week. Throw it away.
Throw it
out. Just get rid of it. I know those cookies are still good. Mm-hmm. I know that that's still good there, but I'm done with it. I don't need to do it anymore.
Yeah,
so.
I'm with you, man. Take it all away, please. Do not give me lettuce for the next month. You know, and I always hear about people with the dry January. I never do anything like that, but I understand why, because you need to kind of hit that reset button for your system after the holidays. I had somebody over the weekend, and, like, I can't do it anymore. Oh, it's just still the holidays. Keep eating. I'm like, I can't.
No.
I literally can't physically eat anything anymore.
I would rather. Yeah, it's salmon and pork for the next. next 2 weeks.
That's exactly right. Yes.
So some good news and then some not so good news.
All right.
Good news is it is your 15th year at this station.
God, 15 years ago today, started the show.
Awesome, man.
I mean, can you believe? And I mean, it, wild. 15. I was thinking about that. 15 years. You were 12,
yeah,
right?
11
you
or
were,
12.
You were 12.
Yeah.
You were what? 22, 23. So you were a little bit older than him.
Mm-hmm.
But Max, like, one of those kids who literally says, "Hey, I grew up listening to you." You know, I'm like, "Nah, there's no chance." And then you start to do the math a little bit, and you're like, "Oh no, 15 years is a long time. I've been doing this longer than one of my daughters has been alive."
That's
so
crazy.
I mean, it's wild to think about, and a lot of things have happened over. I never thought we'd be sitting in a place where our football team was going for a three-peat. I never thought we'd see our baseball team have a winning season, quite honestly, with the way things were going, you know, in Major League Baseball. And boy, I mean, the last 15 years have been a lot of fun for the Kansas City sports fan. You know, football's been great, baseball's been great. It's on its way back up again and hopefully has a lot of staying power this time around. So things are good in 15 years. I mean, things have changed a lot. We got new stadiums coming. We got all kinds of great stuff.
That is wild. 15 years. I hope that I get that lucky. I mean, the rate I'm going, I'll be here for 15 months. No. Thanks for coming along.
Wild ride.
That's right. Just wild to think. So, yeah, 2000.
God. 2010. Yeah, January 2nd,
cool.
2010. I mean, a lot's changed in you know, 15 years, obviously, with the landscape of the world and sports and life and everything.
That was still a pretty fresh show when I interned here. I interned in 2014.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, we were about four years into that thing.
You had just signed the second contract.
That's right, yeah. In radio terms, that's a generation.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
If you sign the second one, it means you're doing just good enough.
We can't find anybody better, so what the hell? Hang out for a little bit longer.
You work well with others. We're willing to keep you around, but it's only a one-year extension.
That's right.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you.
Looking over your shoulder the rest of your life. Is it coming? Like, is it, well, your contract's up and no one's talked to you yet. It's like, oh,
okay.
Shoot.
I'll see you next time.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing more nerve wracking than that. But no, congratulations to 15 years.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hawaii didn't work out.
That's all right. What are
you
going to do? Right?
Did you see the volcano in Hawaii, Bob? Nope.
No, he didn't make it. Sure. No. So we were on American and there was like that snafu early in the morning or whatever, which really didn't impact us because our flight was like at 7 o'clock. We were pushed back a little bit, but then Dallas was shut down, right? Like, there were storms in Dallas and the airport was shut down and shut down and shut down. And then we were delayed for a 7 a.m. flight to 4 o'clock. We're like, there's no chance we're making this. So we just canceled everything and we rescheduled for next year. This time next year will be.
Do you fly out Christmas Eve again?
No, I think we're going to go a little bit earlier.
Is that the lesson learned?
The lesson learned, honest to God, for me was we're probably going to fly out the day before the flight to, you know, the main flight because you just can't rely on these airlines to get you to where you want to go. And like I said, we were on American. It's nothing against them. It's all the whole airline industry is a joke. I mean, you start to rank things.
They just had a bad day.
But the last couple of years during the holiday time, Southwest, was it last year, had that meltdown where everybody was stranded for months?
Spirit's gone.
Spirit.
They literally are Spirit.
They're going to do something wrong. You know, Frontier, I'm sure, will get mixed up. American had an IT. Like, they all have issues. And when you start to think about, like, people that are just not good at their jobs, Siri is number one by far. I mean, like, there's nothing worse at their job than Siri, okay?
Because
they never get it right. Text to talk is always wrong. Nobody ever says duck. All that kind of stuff, right? Like Siri is the worst thing ever. Like, that invention sucks. And then after that, people who are terrible at their job, the airline industry. like, God love you. I appreciate what you do, and it's not easy with all those planes in the air. Mm. But, I mean, they have a way of messing up. And when they do, it's a big mess up for a lot of people,
right? A place that needs a very clear speaker never does.
Never does.
Like, you would think, that's right. What are your top three most important things you need in an airport? A lot of illumination.
Yeah.
Directional signs that are clear. And a clear speaker. But every time you go to an airport, it's like, flight 97 is not leaving and boarding to the left side of Europe. You're like, okay, I don't know what he just said.
No idea what that person just said. No.
And then to wrap up everything, and again, not a great topic, but there was a tragedy that happened on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
There was that idiot that decided to go and run his truck in a crowded Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Kind of hits a little bit close to home, you know, because I think when we see that and we see what our reaction is to what happens, it's one of those things where, like, you know, sports can wait, right? This is one of the, and this is the way that I take it. And I suggest, you know, you do what Jeremy Fowler told everybody when it happened and he broke the news on the College Game Day show, you know, go do your research, go figure out the loose ends that you get for yourself. Trust your sources, know what you're getting into, whatever that source may be, make sure you do it yourself. Don't let anybody else tell you differently. But also, like, this is one of those things where, when you see this happen, it kind of affects everybody on a different perspective, right? Like, you know, New Year's Eve, you know, everybody's having a good time. Some people are like, you know what, stayed home, watched a movie, went to bed, whatever. Some people are like, oh, I went to my buddy's house. You know, some people go to a club, some people do this. Could have been me, could have been you, could have been anybody. The other thing, too, is that there was a sporting event the next day right down the street. Not only that, but in 4 weeks from now, there's a major sporting event down there that could have people from this area. And that's why I say it's close to home. Mm-hmm. There are people that will be there from Kansas City or Missouri that will either be there rooting on two different teams, or they got their tickets way in advance and a hotel way in advance and they thought the Chiefs could do a three-peat, and maybe they will. And this is one of those things where it's always a numb feeling when things like this happen because of the randomness and the situation. This time it was New Year's Eve and a game was about to be played, and that game was now delayed, which there are 15 people that are deceased that we know of. There is a game that got delayed that's now being, as of now, being played today at 3 o'clock.
Yep.
There are college kids involved. There are local people involved. And it's one of those things where when you see this sort of thing happen, it kind of gives you life in a different perspective. It kind of gives you life in, like, gosh, just when you think, you know, here it is. it happens again. And I think the worst part about this is, in my mind, it's like, yes, we should grieve, but also it's like, you know, damn it, this is America. We're going to get stronger and move on, and we're going to support our people and continue to do this. Like, yes, we're going to play this football game. Yes, we're going to remember the people that are, you know, affected by this, but also, like, we're going to remember this as, like, here we go again. Like, we've got to gather up together and look at the positives out of, you know, moving forward and make sure that we can, you know, kind of unite together and move on from this, but also not forget this.
Well, this stinks because, you know, this is not the way to kick off a new year, obviously, or end a year or anything like that, for that matter, to have that tragedy happen. Right. And, you know, I had friends in the middle of that on Tuesday night. I woke up on Wednesday morning, New Year's Eve. We went to bed late, obviously, slept in a little bit, started looking at the phone around 10 o'clock in the morning. He's okay. Everybody's fine. I'm like, am I missing here? because clearly I had no idea of anything that went on. And so I called my friends who were down there. They go, we were 15 minutes away from being right in the middle of that. We went back to our hotel room because that was it. It was the end of the night. Mm-hmm. And had we stayed out 15 minutes longer, we would have been right in the middle of that situation down there. So to hear firsthand accounts of what it was like and being down there, obviously very scary. But I did. I immediately thought about, you know, the Super Bowl and you know, we're going to be down there in New Orleans for the Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the immediate reaction is I have no interest in going to another live event. And obviously, you start to come down from that as the day and time goes by. But I mean, it's very reminiscent of what we went through in 2001 for the first Super Bowl after 9/11 and all the security that was in place after 9/11. And obviously, for this year's Super Bowl, and I would imagine for this game today, there's going to be security that you've never experienced before. And you know, I think sports has done a really nice job of protecting their venues and having security and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, who knows what could have happened, you know, down in New Orleans had, you know, things not gone the way that they did, or maybe it could have been worse. You just don't know in those situations. But if there's one thing that I do trust is the NFL to make sure that their events and their arenas and their games are in these secure areas. They do an unbelievable job with that. And this wasn't on the venue, obviously, Bourbon Street. Close enough to the venue, and it makes you think, obviously, about what if this was the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff was going down there. But I'll tell you what, the NFL is going to make sure that nothing like this happens during the Super Bowl, and I can promise you right now the NFL is already involved with their security trying to figure out, let's make sure nothing like this happens on our watch.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, I've got a very intriguing question, but it's a tough one. It involves Kansas City Chiefs. Mac, Bob, Dusty, we're back. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Hey, it's Dusty Likens. Right back in it. Chiefs play Sunday, 3:25. You might think it's pointless. You might not watch, but boy, am I going to, because I'm going to have some fun prop bets. Speaking of which, we will have Goldilocks coming up here. The host of that betting show.
Which one?
That one. And Ben Maller at 7:25, Nate Taylor at 8:25. It is a loaded Thursday. We're back full force. It sucks because now there's no holiday to look forward to. Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday. We're like, oh man,
everything's
first
done.
Of the year's great. Like you get Thanksgiving, Christmas, yeah. New Year's. And then it's like, all right, now you got to wait until March. You're like, what's in March? Well,
I mean, but there's really no
Valentine's Day is great. Yeah. Like, however, how you do it. Like if you go out, like my parents always took us out for dinner with them. If you're fresh in a relationship, maybe you have that sort of thing.
Oh, this is the worst time to start getting into a relationship because you've got that period of time now where the new year and then Valentine's Day pops up.
Well,
and if you've been dating
excuse.
Something for somebody for, you know, 2-3 weeks, do you have them for Valentine's Day? Like, what do you do?
Tweener phase.
It was kind of when I started dating my wife, you know, called her 3 o'clock on Valentine's Day. I'm like, you want to go out to dinner tonight? And she said, yes. I said, had you said no, I never would have called you again. Right. But it was that real tweener phase. So the memo is right now, don't date anybody until February 15th, okay? Just after the Super Bowl and all this kind of stuff, after the parade, after Valentine's Day, then start going to look for somebody that you love. Because if you date them, it's just an awkward situation. I mean, we start dating January 20th.
You guys made it out? Hey, maybe that's the reason to do it.
You started dating January 20th and you went on a Valentine's Day date the first year?
Yeah, we did.
Wow, that's a quick turnaround.
So we started dating, right? And then the following week, I was gone to the Super Bowl. So I was in Detroit.
Nice.
So that's a week where I was gone. and then you're back, and then it's Valentine's Day, and I'm like, okay. Like, what do you do? Do you call? Do you not? It was weird. We'd only gone out a couple of times.
Do
I really
feel
didn't
rude?
Like her.
Is it not rude?
You
know,
like, no, I kid. But yeah, you just don't know like what that situation is, and so like if you're getting ready, hang on, wait 6 weeks, it'll all be okay. But the other thing that the holiday gives you is the opportunity to say, I'll get to it after the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
That excuse is no longer out there. Let's get to it after the holiday. Oh, crap.
New me.
It's January 2nd. I guess we'll get to it on Monday when everybody else is back to work.
So how long have you been married?
17, 18 years this year. Okay. Yeah, it'll be 18 years. Yeah.
Almost been married as long as you've been doing this radio show.
Yeah. We got married in 08. So whatever that is, 17 years, 18 years. Yeah.
Oh, nice. 08.
Yeah.
Nice. And it's January 20th, you said?
No, that's when we first started. That was our first date. But no, April 12th is our anniversary. So
it'd be cool if your anniversary is on April 20th.
Oh, right. Day after my birthday. Would have been great. We would have celebrated everything.
Absolutely. So yesterday I came up with a question. I asked a couple of my buddies and I asked you guys as well. And I thought I had enough legs. And maybe the text line, you could chime in at this as well. 913-586-7965. The offense the last 3 weeks, the board has still continued. So while you were gone, your boy still did his homework.
Look at that. All the green.
That's right. 29-10, 27-19, 21-7. Coincidence or not that Hollywood Brown has been on the offense those 3 weeks. Yeah. And now the Chiefs are separating themselves in victory, right? Like, that was the thing. Like, can they solidify a win where I don't have to be like, well, they barely won. Well, 3 games in a row, Hollywood Brown's been back. He's looked fantastic. Has he not? Has he not looked great?
He's been good.
And from what I've told people is, I think this was the offense the Chiefs wanted to run because they were thinking that there was the possibility that Rashee Rice could be out with the suspension. So they put together an offense. They said, okay, well, this is what it's going to look like without Rashee Rice. Now, obviously, with Rashee Rice out with injury, we didn't think that you would see DeAndre Hopkins or Juju Smith-Schuster preseason, but Juju was always there. Like, there was a possibility that if Veach wanted to, be like, hey, here's a mill, just come play for, you know, a year and then go on your merry way. But this offense has looked different. It's looked like there's a little bit of a shot in the arm with Hollywood Brown. So the question I have for you is, next year when Hollywood Brown's a free agent and also DeAndre Hopkins is a free agent, would you want to bring back DeAndre Hopkins or Hollywood Brown?
Yeah, it's a question that you asked us last night, and I didn't respond for a while because I was thinking a lot about it.
The first time you did respond, you're like, I'm still not sure what the answer is.
And I still don't know to this day, to this moment, what the correct answer is on that. I tend to lean towards Joe Tooney solidified that left tackle spot, and now they're able to do those things from an offensive standpoint that they weren't able to do before because they didn't have anybody playing that left tackle position, right? It's gotten better. The offensive line has gotten better because Joe Tooney has been a superstar for this team by bouncing outside. And if I'm Joe Tooney, I'm like, I got one more year left on this contract. Either we're going to renegotiate left tackle money or, you know, I'm just going to play this thing
or
out.
Just give it all to me fully guaranteed.
Guarantee everything for the $25 million I think he's owed next year. It's a big chunk of change.
For a left tackle, that's pretty cheap.
Sign me up, dude. What are you talking about? But he's like, he counts for like over 10% of the salary cap or something like that next year. Like, it's a big number, you know, for Joe Tooney, but well-earned for the way that he's playing right now. But I think the answer after seriously thinking about it for a while, I think I lean towards Hollywood Brown on this one. I think he's been more of a playmaker than DeAndre Hopkins has been. Like, I think DeAndre Hopkins has been good and he's been better than I ever thought DeAndre Hopkins would be here. But I don't know, man, since Hollywood Brown has gotten back in and Joe Tooney has played left tackle, it's just all come together right now. And so which one do I want to pick? I think I would lean towards Hollywood Brown. But if you're saying, you know, I'm going DeAndre Hopkins, I don't think that's a wrong answer either. I think it's a really nice question to talk about, a good problem to have, and one where we may not see either of them next year here, you know, in Kansas City. But I think Hollywood Brown would probably be my answer on that one.
Yeah, I kind of lean that direction, too, because I think about Rashee Rice coming back. He would kind of fill in what DeAndre Hopkins does as far as a guy who can be that reliable security blanket for Mahomes, a guy who can move the chains and make those contested big body kind of strong-handed catches. Rashee Rice can do a lot of that stuff that Hopkins can do and is going to keep improving at it. The speed, the juice, the burst that Hollywood has just shown in just 3 weeks. I kind of like that.
And it also looks different with Hollywood, right?
It does. Right? Yeah. It looks clean, and they already have a connection after a couple weeks. Plus, Hollywood Brown's a guy, like, when he was coming here, I was really excited at him because I don't think his ceiling has shown in the league yet, and I don't think it has either because he hasn't been healthy. We might see it this playoff. So I think I lean Brown, but again, to Bob's point, no right answer there.
So let me ask you this. I'll throw a twist on the question. Travis Kelce and the Chiefs won a three-peat. Kelce retires. Mm-hmm. Does that sway you any way,
no,
shape, or form?
Not at all.
Because you lose a security blanket in DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, I would bring both of them Kelce. Back. Yeah, if Kelce walked. I would consider bringing both of them back. You know, right now. But again, age-wise, too, you always have to be getting younger, and this organization has never been one to pay, if you will, the wide receiver position. And so if Hollywood Brown can, you know, hit the free agent market and make a nice big payday, then by all means, you go and do that. Same thing with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. If he hits the free agent market and gets one more big payday, I don't know that he is, but if he could, you know, and get one more big payday, they would let him go. They're not going to overpay, you know, at that position. But, you know, if they do win, you know, the three-peat, Travis Kelce does walk away, I think you have a lot of question marks now from an offensive standpoint. Like, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. No,
how
great.
Are we going to define ourselves?
You've been told the answer for when Travis steps away.
Yeah,
it's Noah Gray.
It is Noah Gray, but you can't expect Noah Gray to be a Hall of Famer either.
No, like, I think that's, you know, one thing that, and I was talking about this the other night. Like, Travis Kelce over 12 years, I think, is averaging like 7 touchdowns a year and 1,100 yards. George Kittle in 8 years is doing the same thing. Big thing is 4-year gap. Like, mm-hmm. there's 4 years where Kittle would have to continue to do that. And I think that's one thing that you have to realize with Travis Kelce is that is an anomaly. Like, that is the best tight end to play football, him or Gronk or Gonzalez, however you want to look at it. And then after that, it's, I don't know, Shannon Sharp,
Antonio Gates,
Jason Witten. Like, that's all. Like, that. And I mean, Kellen Winslow is good. I guess you could say that as well. But, like, that's the master class. Those 8-9 names in the history of the NFL.
Sure.
So, again, that is going to be one of those things. I think Noah Gray can do just fine in the system. But
I feel bad for him in a sense because there are going to be the fans that have this expectation that he is going to be Travis Kelce 2.0 or Tony Gonzalez 3.0. Like, we've been blessed, right, with these two tight ends and Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce. Odds are Noah Gray isn't going to be in that same category, and that's okay. If he's good, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Be George Kittle, be good, be average.
But again, like, look at who the wide receivers were when Travis Kelce was doing his dominant stuff, right? Like, I know he had Tyreek Hill for a little bit and Sammy Watkins, but then it was not Xavier Worthy, but it was like Kadarius Toney at times. It was Sky Moore at times. It was like Juju Smith-Schuster kind of doing his thing a little bit at times.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling,
right.
You know,
and Marcus Robinson, Tyron Pringle.
Yeah. So when Travis Kelce exits, if you do bring back Hollywood Brown, then Mahomes gets Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and he has Rashee Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pacheco for one more year, and then they go draft a running.
See you later to him, too.
Yeah. They're going to draft Scatterboo in the 32nd pick this year. And they're just like, all right, dude. Like, we have Carson Steele mixed with Isaiah Pacheco moving forward.
Yeah.
But no, I think that is, you know, when you look at that question, because, like, the offense does look like it's gotten this new, you know, whatever. And I know the offense is what it is. Like, it's averaging 24 points a game, which
That's
is
good.
Nice.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, like, and we had a text that said, yeah, the offense has been there all year, but now the defense has started to play better, so it looks like they're – not only that,
the
way the offense has been so solidified and the way that they kind of have their way about it is now they can have long, sustainable drives at end of points, which, again, gives your defense time to rest. So, like, hand shakes hand, you know, face looks at face and says thank you. But I do look – I think this is also that time of year where, like, before against Buffalo or before against other teams, it was like, I don't think that they're showing much. The one thing that's great about Hollywood Brown is that you have maybe 2 games, maybe 2.5 games of tape with Hollywood Brown. He was eased in against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. He was a big part in the last 2 games. And it's like, okay, well, this is what they have to show. And that's 2 weeks. Not only that, you're not going to see any of it on Sunday. Carson Wentz.
Right.
We know that now. He's starting.
Best of luck, Carson.
Yeah. But you have, you know, Andy Reid will set you up for success. But not only that, you look at that, and then you get into the playoffs. And this is what's so amazing about the Chiefs every year is that they don't have to announce it like Josh Allen did. I'm still kind of confused by his comments. I'm not sure if you heard those, but he was like, yeah, there's some stuff that we're holding back. Like, that's a guy that hasn't been there before. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a guy that, yes, he's been in the playoffs, but Andy Reid and the Chiefs, you and I, Mac, we all know they're not showing a lot. But I don't need Patrick Mahomes to go out there and be like, yeah, you know, we're just hiding some plays.
No.
It's like, but Josh Allen told us that. So it's like, okay, buddy, thank you. But I think that when you look at this offense and this defense, right, they're getting the rest. They're getting the time. You add Hollywood Brown back. And now all of a sudden, everyone's like, don't really know how they're going to use him. Yeah. We've seen him against Houston. We've seen him against, you know, Pittsburgh. But, gosh, he's kind of everywhere.
Yeah, I just personally don't think it has anything to do with Hollywood Brown. It has to do everything with the offensive line finally and playing to their level. And so when
Ball's back.
Well, yeah, you have time. You can't do anything unless you have an offensive line. And mm-hmm. I know it's not sexy on draft day and whatnot, but, I mean, you'd like to go back in time and get John Ault and have him as your top pick of the draft instead of, you know, whatever we had at number 32
Sam
this
LaPorta,
year.
Or,
you know,
whatever.
But I just think this offense got better and got to its next level, not because of Hollywood Brown or because of DeAndre Hopkins. It all has to do with that offensive line. And if you don't believe that the offensive line is the reason why they're playing better, I implore you to go back and watch the Raider game where for the last time Wanye Morris messed up and Patrick Mahomes lost his mind. And since that play in that Raider game back on November 30th, this offensive line has stepped up and taken it to the next level. And that's because of Joe Tooney saying, I'll bounce outside, I'll play left tackle, and now Patrick Mahomes has the opportunity to operate. It doesn't matter who your weapons are on a football field if you don't have an offensive line. And I don't think this offense was really clicking all season long. They will tell you that as well, that this offense wasn't clicking all season long. But once they figured out the offensive line, this team started to play better. And that's a great sign for where we are at this point of the season. Now we're entering the games that, well, other than Sunday, the games that absolutely really matter now. And you've had three games in 11 days and a game before that to kind of get your feet underneath you with this new offensive line. And I think they're playing at a really good level right now. I think when this season is all said and done, I think Mike Caliendo may go down as the unsung hero in this because we're tooting the horn for Joe Tooney moving outside. Somebody had to replace a Pro Bowl All-Pro left guard, and Mike Caliendo's come in there, and he's done that, and you haven't even noticed that Mike Caliendo's been out there on the field. That's how good he's been.
Yeah. So I know you've probably been, you know, away from – you know, the sports world, as in to the point of like dialed in. I don't know if you've seen the line for Sunday's game yet.
I haven't even looked at it.
10.5 for the Raiders, for the Broncos. That's a big line.
That's a huge number.
And
yeah.
I look at this because the Chiefs are plus 425 on the money line. And we'll talk to Alex about this a little bit later on. But I bring this up because we had Derek Johnson on Monday. And I'm not sold that the Chiefs lose this game. And the reason for that is because
Andy Reid, this is one thing that I know playing for Andy Reid, that I know he makes sure that he's going to have something for them to reach for or to motivate them throughout the week to get to the game. And the other high character players that are on the team, like a Pat Mahomes and Kelsey and Chris Jones and all these guys, Justin Reid, they're going to bring the young guys with them. It's a leadership player led team. Even though we talk about Andy Reid and talk about, you know, what his legacy is, he makes sure that he sets players in place, especially leaders, to make sure they lead the right way and so they can get the best out of them on Sundays.
So what we know is that Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, Chris Jones, Carl Loftus, and McDuffie will not be playing as of now. Those are for sure guys that are not going to play. 10.5 points on the road. Denver has to play their starter, so I think that's the edge Vegas gives them. Again, I questioned yesterday's Ohio State Oregon game. I was like, how is Ohio State 2.5 point favorites? Like, Oregon's 13-0. Oregon's beat them in the regular season. And then I watched the game. I'm like, Vegas always knows.
Because the good coaches don't show you anything in the regular season. They know what matters, you know? Ryan Day pulling an Andy Reid yesterday.
Yeah, I just don't know if that theory works in college because you gotta win all the time in college. Now, if not, you don't get to control your fate. Like, obviously, Boise and Arizona State buys where we get college football a little later. But Andy Reid, I love that cut from Derek Johnson because he says he's going to make something worth the reach, right? Like, there's definitely some sort of incentives out there for certain players. We'll get into some here on the other side or some storylines at 6:45. But, like, that's what I love in these games because, yes, Denver's going to play their starters, but the Chiefs want to beat you with their backups because not only is that like a middle finger to you, that also shows the morale of the team. And I guarantee you, somebody is said in that locker room, hey guys, you are, it was 11. Somebody says, you guys are 10.5 point underdogs. You, Carson Wentz, you, Carson Steele, you, Noah Gray, like, and the coaches outside of the normal ones that do it every week. Now you get Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, who are all going to be in that typical setup, you know, hoodie, jacket, hat, headset, getting rowdy on the sidelines. I love that the Chiefs are 10.5-point underdogs with their backups, because I can't wait to see how much of truth comes out of this Derek Johnson audio code we just played about how Andy Reid will have them ready. They'll have something to reach for, and the starters and the stars of this team will then become coaches.
Well, yeah, and I think that's going to happen. They're definitely going to rally around these guys who don't get an opportunity to play. But to me, this game is all about the Denver Broncos and potentially their future as well. I mean, everybody's been, you know, riding high with the Denver Broncos over the last couple of months, right? Hey, they're playing good. They've had three opportunities now to close this thing out. I mean, they should have won the game the other night against Cincinnati and did not win that game. And so they're playing for a lot. I think there's going to be a lot of questions if they don't win this game about Sean Payton. Hey, lost the team in the last month of the season. You had three games to win one to get into the playoffs, and you couldn't take care of business. And then you couldn't take care of business at home against the Chiefs backups in a regular season game that meant everything. I mean, I think this is a big game for the Denver Broncos. If they lose this game, there could be a lot of people questioning, did Sean Payton lose this team at the end of the year? I'm sure there will be people questioning Bo Nix as the quarterback, depending on how he plays, you know, on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. But this is a major game for the Denver Broncos. And if they don't go out there and win this game, not because they're a huge favorite or anything, but because of the situation that's around them, you have to start to question, maybe they didn't turn the corner. Maybe they just made some hay against some bad teams early, looked good in Kansas City, you know, in a week 8, week 9 game where we had to have a block kick to win it. But to me, this is all about the Denver Broncos and everything that they have to play for and their season's on the line. How are they going to play? Because if they get beat by the Chiefs backups, baby, I like our future in the AFC West a lot if the Chiefs backups roll into Denver and beat the Broncos, who are in a must-win, fight-for-your-life type of playoff game.
So the Broncos wins this year are the Bucs, the Jets,
yeah,
the Raiders, the Saints. This was October 17th Saints, so they weren't right. The same Saints. Panthers, they lost to the Ravens, lost to the Chiefs. They beat the Falcons, the Raiders, the Browns, the Colts. They've lost to the Chargers again. They lost to the Bengals.
So who have they beaten?
I mean, it's again, it's
good for them for taking advantage of their schedule, right?
Maybe the Falcons, and there was one other decent team.
They beat
there.
The Saints in October 17th.
Yeah. But that, I mean, after that coach got fired down there?
I don't know.
The Saints were good after week 3. Yeah,
they really weren't.
They scored 90 points in the first 2 weeks.
They had a random win over the Bucs in week 3.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That was the team I was
thinking. That was a nice win.
And they beat them soundly. They beat them 26-7, but it was on the road.
I remember that. That was a weird game. Yeah,
because everybody questioned Baker.
Everybody was questioning Baker. Yeah, week 3 and all that kind of early in the season. A lot of teams didn't know what they were doing.
So, it goes back to Cincinnati, too. Yeah. Cincinnati's biggest win of the year just came
Denver game.
Took overtime.
Oh, I know.
And everyone's like, I don't know, Cincinnati. Because that's another thing that it's starting to get annoying.
Oh, I'm over the Cincinnati stuff. I just
I'm all about the storylines, but now I'm like, I'm loving that we're getting spoon fed a bunch of BS that says Kansas City fans don't want to see Cincinnati. No one's saying I don't want to see Cincinnati. Like,
we've beaten every team in the playoffs already this year with the exception of Buffalo.
Right. And
I'll take anybody.
The thing is that, like, I don't know there's a team I don't want to see. It's all an Arrowhead. So everybody's going to come to your house and you don't have to travel until February.
Right.
Right. Obviously, this game. Leave me alone, text.
I wonder how they're going to get back from Denver if the snow's bad. Like, are we going to see the story on Monday?
They're not going to Hawaii either.
The Chiefs are stuck in Denver for another day. Thank God they have the bye.
But I do think, because that's what I've kind of noticed over the weekend or over the week, is it was just like, everybody's like, yeah, nobody wants to see Cincinnati. No one's saying that.
Yeah.
No one's, first off, just for Cincinnati to get in, which they do have a glimmer of hope.
No, they got
Denver and Miami have to lose and they have to win.
Right.
Like, again, if Miami wins and Denver loses, they're out. If Denver wins, everybody's out.
Right.
If Denver loses, Miami loses, and Cincinnati lose, Denver's in.
And Pittsburgh plays Cincinnati on Saturday night, right?
So
we'll have kind of an idea of what, you know, Sunday is going to look like. If Cincinnati loses, well, they don't even have to watch on Sunday, right? They can go back to Cancun or wherever it is that they're going to go,
this offseason. If Cincy loses to the Steelers,
right,
then
well, Cincinnati's done. If they lose, yeah, they're out. So Saturday, Sunday doesn't matter for them.
Because then, I guess Denver still would have to play their starters because Miami doesn't play till Sunday. If Miami wins and Denver loses,
Monday, Sunday night is Miami?
No, they both play at 3:25.
Sunday night's your Super Bowl. Sunday night's Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota Detroit is the Sunday night game.
For the one seed,
yeah, no, that's great.
Then
Sunday
the losers got to
right?
go on the road, winning 14 games.
I mean, can you seriously think about that? I mean, like if you lose that game, oh my god!
I don't mind it at all.
I don't mind it either. I have no problem with the seeding system in the NFL whatsoever.
The Rams can backdoor their division with 10 wins, I mean, and then they get to host a home game.
Yeah, you win the division. Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. It sucks, you know, but it is what it is.
But you don't suck. That's the question.
Right, yeah.
You're a 14
win team. But if you're a 14 win team, you should be able to go on the road and win a football game, right? Like you're 14-2, 14-3.
But we just bitched and moaned about being a 15-win team, and then we just got the number one seed.
I know. It's crazy how that all works out. Yeah. But you knew you were going to get a home playoff game. You knew you were going to be the 1 or 2 seed. You knew you were going to be in that driver's seat. This is one for the division. If you don't win the division, you're out. But
crazy.
I'll take Detroit or Minnesota on the road against whoever in the NFC, you know, and then, you know, so what? They have to go on the road and they, you know, they don't get a home playoff game unless things work out and they're in their favor and all the, you know, the top four teams get eliminated and whatnot. But hey, it is what it is. Go out there and win your games. And then if you win, your fans can really brag. We had to go on the road as a wild card team.
Exactly.
And, teams, Giants have done it over the years and you know, New England's done it over the years. And teams have won at these wild card teams going on the road for 3 games. It's not like it can't happen anymore. It happens more often than not now in the NFL.
When did you say the last time it's happened?
I have no idea when the last time it happened, but I know the Giants did it a couple of times. New England obviously won on the road here to go to the Super Bowl. Cincinnati won. I think Cincinnati probably is the last
team. They
didn't
win the Super Bowl, though.
But they went,
they went to
the Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, so it can be done because they beat the Raiders maybe at home, and then they went on the road to Tennessee. And then on the road to Kansas City.
So they went on 2 games, not 3.
Yeah, I can't remember whether that game. Well, that game, that game would have been at home against
Congratulations,
Vegas.
You get zero home playoff games. You won 15 games all year. Yeah. Thank you. Goodbye.
On the flip side, like you asked, when's the last time that happened? That to Bob's question, when's the last time this happened? You know, this doesn't happen either.
So no, it really doesn't.
It doesn't happen often enough. If this was happening every year, Dusty, I think there'd be a conversation. It just doesn't happen.
Right. It really doesn't. I mean, and then, you know, for more often than not, I mean, it always seemingly works out the way that it's supposed to work out. Every once in a while, it gets mixed up and whatnot, and things happen. But for the most part, you see the teams that you want, like Buffalo, Kansas City for the AFC Championship game and Detroit, Minnesota for the NFC Championship game. I mean, let's call it now.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I have a lot more ways I can dive into that, but we're out of time. Coming up on the other side, there are fun stories to be had on Sunday when it comes to backups playing. Who or what storyline are you most excited about when it comes to the Chiefs and Denver game where backups will play starters in Denver at 3:25 on Sunday? You're listening to Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, and Dusty Likens on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Back from the break here, it's 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. This is Fesco and Dusty, the trio back together. And myself, producer Mac Morey, here with you until 10 o'clock. We got a loaded show today coming up. Ben Maller, 7:15. Nate Taylor, 8:25. We'll have him on. And, of course, your best bets of the weekend. Alex Gold, Goldilocks, all at 9:20. But right now, we got backup talk, baby.
Backup talk?
Backup talk. It's the second strings.
Hey, people will watch. 22.2 million watch Monday Night Football during a holiday break on ABC. 40-34, Detroit beats San Francisco. 22.2 million people.
That's crazy.
We're watching that thing. So be interesting to see how many tuned into the college football playoff. Get those TV numbers kind of coming in and seeing what they do. I don't think it's going to be anything close to a random NFL game, though, man. It's crazy. Crazy how the NFL just continues to churn and burn, man.
According to the text line, the Tom Brady Buccaneers in 2020 were the last team to go on the road.
That's right, they did.
That's not true. They played the Super Bowl at home.
That's right, they did. But
they played the Super Bowl at home.
Yeah, but they went on the road for the 3 playoff games to get to that neutral site Super Bowl in front of cardboard cutouts and Josh. And who was the guy who did the halftime show?
The Weeknd.
That was weird.
Did not like that.
That gave me motion sickness. Like I needed like Dramamine after that happened. But I was like, I don't know where he's at. But then he like ended up on the street.
That was bad. That was a bad half.
I closed my eyes. Right? I swore it was Michael Jackson.
Oh, God. That was
listening
weird.
To it. They sound similar. At least sometimes.
I didn't know whether it was actually bad at the time or whether I was just in a really pissed off mood. But then when everyone else was like, oh, yeah, it sucked, I was like, okay, it wasn't just my negativity clouding it. It was like, okay, it actually was bad.
I wasn't really pissed. I knew the game was over at halftime.
Oh, yeah, that game was done.
I looked at a couple of my buddies and I was at the house. And I was like, you guys ready to just go upstairs and drink? And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, you don't need to watch this. And we would sit at the island, just kind of sitting there. I'm like, yeah, well, here we go. Like,
right. Yeah.
I was like, sorry.
Is that the last time you've been depressed as a Chiefs fan?
Seriously, yeah.
The 2021 Super Bowl during COVID.
The Bengals game.
Yeah, the Bengals AFC Championship game.
That,
yeah.
The reason that game made me depressed is because Mahomes was, like, in the first half on a level that we had not seen for a while.
Right.
Where it was just like, when I have the football in my hand, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do. And then the second half, it's like the Monstars came and took all of his energy. And you're like, what happened in that 15 minutes? But then you go back and look, and like Tyreek was pissed and they didn't score. So I'm sure he went and gloated in the locker room. Tyrann Mathieu was pissed in the locker room because the defense wasn't playing the way that they should have, or at least they thought they should have. And then you had people clashing. And then all of a sudden the second half comes out there and it's like, this team is flat.
Yeah.
And that's the last time we've seen that.
That's really the last time we've seen them a flat
performance.
Christmas
Day 2 years ago.
For the Raider game.
That game, I was like, what in the hell was... Because they did those back-to-back turnovers where they fumbled a snap and they threw a pick. And I'm like, what is this? Yeah. That was like, I don't know what that was. That's the last time.
Think about it, though. I mean, those are the two instances we have in the last 4 years or whatever it is. Like, oh my God, we lost a Christmas Day game to the Raiders.
How did it turn out for
We can't find a quarterback in our team. You know, like, I mean, like the stuff that, like, we get upset about, like, it's first class problems, right? You know, and you sit there, oh, I remember that Raider game on Christmas Day. That really stunk, or that second half of the fourth AFC Championship game we played in a row at Arrowhead Stadium.
It's almost
that
like
one really hurt.
It's almost like they have champagne problems. Okay. Anyways, writer and creator of that song is now in a booth that watches the exact same team that we're talking about. So Sunday, right? 325 in Denver. Mm-hmm. Over under, by the way, in this game is 40.
40, huh?
And they have Denver winning by 10.5.
How many of the Chiefs that aren't playing are even going to make the trip with the snow coming as well, just to make sure that they're back to get ready for the
play? Dude, they got 2 weeks off after that game. They'll be fine.
We're not going to bring anybody to this thing. It's a snow mess and whatnot and getting back.
But is there a storyline that you're interested to see?
Not really.
So you won't watch the game at all?
No, God, no.
Oh, okay.
I'll watch the game, but is there a storyline I'm interested in? No.
Nothing. Not Carson Wentz.
Nope, not at all. What do I care about him
then
for?
Then why would you watch the game?
Just because it's on. You know, honestly, it's on and whatnot. And it's the NFL, and it's the last weekend of the season. There's a lot online for the Denver Broncos, but it's playoff time, man. I'm ready for the postseason, and it's time to get there. You know, I don't need another preseason game to kind of get me juiced or anything like that. I've never been a huge regular season fan with the arrival of Patrick Mahomes. I know what this is all about, and it's all about what's going to happen over the next, I don't know, month of the calendar, because this time next month on February 2nd, we'll know. I mean, I believe we'll be in New Orleans at the time, you know, doing that first show from New Orleans, basically a month from today. And so that's all that really matters in this game for me moving forward, is that it finishes and it gets over. And here we sit and get ready for the postseason. So, no, I'm not looking forward. I'm not going to sit here and bloviate and lie and say that I'm looking forward to something in a game, because this game is meaningless. This game really doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. There's not a lot of, you know, like last year we had Chris Jones with the incentive of getting that 10th sack and getting $1 million and, you know, you're kind of rooting for him to do all that kind of stuff. But no, for me, this is about just get me to the postseason and let's start the defense and run this thing back, because there's so much on the line over the next month for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you do realize over the next month, the entire legacy of this franchise can be changed in a way that no other franchise, basically in professional sports, has ever seen their legacy change. This is going to be one of the most dramatic months that we have for this team in the history of this franchise, because if they go out and make it back to the Super Bowl and win that third straight Super Bowl, they're in a category that nobody else can touch. Nobody else can get after the Chiefs. Nobody can say they're no good. Nobody can say they're this. Nobody can say they're bad. This next month is going to change the entire legacy of this franchise, and they know that, and that's what they're getting ready for, and that's this postseason run. Two more wins, get back to that Super Bowl, And this is a legacy that nobody else in the NFL can even talk about.
Well, I mean, nobody's debating that. Like, it's just, it's, this is one of those games that, like, you're fortunate enough to where, like, you get to have this sort of, like, sit back and relax game and watch other guys shine. Like, this is a game, and, like, the three things that I'm interested in this game, and I know that maybe this is just the nerd in me. Like, I don't know. DJ Humphries is coming back. I want to see how good he is as playing in his position to see what his reps look like. Can he actually stay out there for an entire game going up against a very good defensive line? That's a good test for him, because then maybe you don't have to play Tooney at left tackle, even though some people say I want him to be there. But, or maybe DJ Humphries is now like your right tackle or your left guard. I mean, Caliendo's been great. Mm-hmm. I look at this from a perspective of a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, right? Like, there's a reason why he comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he has a chance to make a little bit of money on this game. And that's why, like, when we talked to Alex Gold a little bit later on, it's like, do you believe the players know this? Because last year...
Oh, yes, they do.
Correct, right? Last year, Chris Jones was out there risking an injury in the playoffs for that money. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins gets one touchdown in this game. He gets $500,000.
They're going to get him that touchdown.
Bet your... So when Kramer comes over with the camera and puts it in your face and says, what's your best bet this weekend? DeAndre Hopkins touchdown, DeAndre Hopkins, man. It's $500K on the line.
No, players know money. They definitely know money.
He also needs six receptions for a $250,000 bonus.
Wow, all right.
And then he needs 140 receiving yards, gets him another 250.
Yeah, 140 may be
tough.
That
might be a stretch.
Six may be tough, too. That's a big number.
That's like a Jamar Chase type of reception number. Yeah. But if nobody else is out there... But I'm also interested to see if Hollywood Brown plays a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, on that report that I just read, like, if his name was on there. But you would think that, like, and again, they're not going to get anything, like, diabolically down, because it's not Mahomes throwing you the ball. It's Carson Wentz. But again, Kelsey, Pacheco, Jones, Karlaftis, and McDuffie are out.
All out.
Not playing. But there's...
You got to play somebody, right?
But I mean, so again, does the offensive line all still play at the same rate?
They need work.
Right? I mean, like, I don't see them. I don't see any name like Joe Tooney, or I don't see Wanya Morris, or I don't see whoever else. And then I think there's defensive players that could show their worth. Like, Felix Ndike Uzomah is going to have a chance to kind of show what he can do. So I know this game doesn't mean a whole lot, but I look at them trying to cover 10.5. I look to see what Carson Wentz can do. Like,
Andy Reid utilize this game as a showcase for Carson Wentz?
Yes.
Because I think he said 2 weeks ago that Carson Wentz should be a starter in the NFL.
He's better than six quarterbacks currently in the NFL.
I mean, you look at, half of the quarterbacks in this league right now. You said six. I'll go half the quarterbacks in this league right now could probably have a run for their money with Carson Wentz in a battle in training camp for that starting job. So if Andy Reid really believes that Carson Wentz is a starter in this league, then I think this is where and why guys end up signing as quarterbacks, as backups in Kansas City, because they get the opportunity to work with Andy Reid, and then they know the last game of the year, they're going to get an opportunity to play because the Chiefs are going to have this one seed locked up. So, no, this is a big game for Carson Wentz, because there are going to be teams this offseason, especially with the draft this week as it is from the quarterback position, where Carson Wentz can go out there and be... Remember Matt Flynn when he went out there in a meaningless game, threw like six touchdown passes and signed a huge contract with Seattle to never play one snap for the Seattle Seahawks because Russell Wilson beat him out? Like, that's an opportunity for Carson Wentz, but I don't really care about Carson Wentz going to another team. But I think if you're another team, you're seeing what Carson Wentz can do, especially if you're at the top of the draft and you need a quarterback, where one really doesn't exist in college football this year. Quinn Ewers ought to come out, because that's where the quarterback level is right now in college football.
You know what his rumor is, don't you?
Notre Dame?
The shirt you're wearing.
Ohio State. No, I did not know that one. That's
a
good one.
There's a lot of rumors that he would go to Ohio State. There's a lot of NIL money.
$20 million
in Ohio State than you can make more in the NFL. So that's the thing. It's like, people are like, that's the thing that's different. I know we can get in this a little bit more.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the draft anymore as quarterback.
No, you don't.
You can go make $20 million at Ohio State, do what Will Howard did or is doing. Looks like Tom Brady, again.
Will Howard may be making some money in the NFL based on the way that he's played in these two playoff
games.
That
man threw for 225 yards in the first quarter. First quarter.
Before he sat down, that thing was like, oh my God. Like, they have put up, 40 points in two games? I mean, they've been just smoking these two teams.
Clemson and Oregon.
And
Tennessee, Oregon.
Tennessee and Oregon, man.
Tennessee, good defense.
Yeah. Oregon, the best team in the nation, allegedly. They were pasted last night by Will Howard in Ohio State.
Yeah, and Ohio State didn't get a bye because conferences or whatever. Stupid.
Yeah. Mm.
Easy. Coming up on the other side, I think there is a reason why Kansas City is hated, and it's because they are an anomaly. And I'll explain why. It deals with Andy Reid on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Well,